by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, True Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Summertime is a fun time in Wyoming, and we bring in Janet Millick every week from Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Janet, it's the prime time to get out on the water and have a great opportunity of recreation here around the Casper area.
That's right. The 4th of July weekend is almost upon us. And I tell you, it has just been, you know, in the 90s. It's fantastic. The water is warming up. The fishing is great. The boating is great. And what a fantastic time to be in Wyoming.
You know, and you see weather reports from some of the northern parts of the state where they're still getting snow from time to time. And then obviously it warms up enough to melt it off pretty quickly. But we know that boating and fishing are in full swing right now. You know, we've seen it on Glendo, we've seen it on Alcova and Pathfinder and Boysen and all the reservoirs. And safety becomes a big concern because of the 4th of July. Everybody goes out and they may take a 4 to 5 day weekend because of the holiday.
Exactly. And it is a great time to take off and really enjoy the outdoors. And, you know, while we at the Wyoming Game and Fish Department tend to push this watercraft safety around the 4th of July, it is something that people need to be thinking about all year round, right? This is really very important. And those of you who have ever sat on the side of a reservoir and just watched the boaters recognize like how difficult it can be to maneuver a boat, to load a trailer, to back a trailer in, to stop a motorized vehicle, because clearly there are no brakes. And so, you know, there are a lot of challenges out there. And so when you add the number of people that will be recreating this weekend and you add some of those individuals who may be consuming some alcohol, it is so important to know about boating safety and what you need to know to be safe on that water.
Yeah, one of the first things we always talk about when it comes to the boats and being in the water is AIS, to make sure that you're checked, to make sure that you're ready to go. But you brought Ty in today, and Ty's going to throw it down and really give us all the information that we need, because some people, maybe this is the first time they've gone out since last 4th of July on the water.
Not saying that I am one of those people, but I do really hope to get my boat out. And yes, Ty is one of our reservoir crew game wardens that, you know, oddly enough, people sometimes don't associate the Wyoming Game and Fish Department and how we regulate boating safety. But this is something that came to us, a job duty that came to us from the U.S. Coast Guard many, many, many years ago. And we do continue to take that job very seriously because it is important to be safe on the water. And Ty can tell us all about some of those things that he has already seen this summer on the waters that people need to be aware of.
So, Ty, first off, we just wanted to get out there and be clear that your number one priority is not to be a fun hater and ruin everyone's fun for the 4th of July weekend.
That's right. You know, a lot of people call us the fun police, and they think we're just out there policing their fun. But in all reality, we're just trying to make sure that everyone stays safe, that everyone comes home at the end of the day, and that everyone can have an enjoyable time out with their families. But most importantly, stay safe out there.
And that's one of the worrisome things for me is if someone goes out to, say, an Alcova, and you're out on Alcova for the first time and you rented a boat or a jet ski and you've never really gone on the water on a boat or jet ski before, there's a lot of things you need to know before, you know, you hurt someone or yourself.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one of the biggest things that we run into, especially with newer boaters or people out there on the reservoir, is life jackets. You know, life jackets are one of those things that you should be wearing all the time on your boat, even though it's not required. I would highly recommend anytime you're out on the water, make sure you have a life jacket on. One of the biggest violations that we've come across is people on paddle boards or kayaks that also do not have a life jacket on board their kayak or their paddle board. It's important to make sure, even if you're not going to wear it on that kayak or paddleboard, that at least you have it on the vessel with you. Because otherwise that you are required to have it. It is a violation, and we want to ensure your safety out there.
You know, Drew, one of the things that we often see in Wyoming, and it's something that people don't think about, is the temperature of the water, right? So there is something like when you fall into that water and it is so cold, people, your natural reaction is often to gasp, because that's just what your body naturally does. And oftentimes that's when you can suck in the water, right? If you're falling into the water, your natural reaction that happens when it is so cold is to inhale. And we all know what that does to the lungs and to have water there. So it is oftentimes the life jacket is to help just those natural reactions that happen when we hit that super cold water. In addition to, you know, you never know what can happen with storms arising. That is one of the big things that we have always seen. I can remember the horror stories of Pathfinder when I was a kid, right? People don't recognize that you can get into the middle of the lake on a paddleboard with no problems. You can have a great time, and then a storm arises and those winds kick up and you're, you know, going against those white caps, and it just becomes a super dangerous situation. And so, you know, just remembering that the life jacket can protect us against the elements in Wyoming is so important.
Ty, what are some of the other key points that we want to make sure that people are aware of in a high boating time of the year?
Yeah. One of the things I kind of want to touch on a little bit is, you know, personal watercraft. You are required to have a life jacket when you're on a personal watercraft. And those things are pretty fun. You know, you can zip around on those pretty fast, and they're just a good time. And just be careful. Like, they are a ton of fun, but you do want to exercise caution and make sure that you're operating those safely.
And it's not just the person driving, it's every person on that machine, because sometimes they're big enough you could get a couple of people on with you.
Exactly. Yep. You could have, you know, two or sometimes up to three people on those. And it's just like a four-wheeler. If you have a four-wheeler with multiple people, the weight distribution is going to be different. It's going to turn different, handle different in the water. So those are things to be cautious of and aware of.
For a little, I guess, a scenario, if you're coming up on a dock to, you know, dismount, how much room do you need to give yourself to slow down and start, you know, arcing that machine to, you know, you don't want to crash into it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's important to give yourself plenty of room. I always like to go probably a little bit slower than most people. Just kind of ease it on in there. I mean, if you go too fast, obviously you can damage not only your boat or your watercraft, but also the dock. You don't want to do that. So, I mean, slow is fast, in my opinion, when you're trying to dock something. You know, just kind of, you know, take it slow and take your time and make sure you're doing it right.
We've mentioned Alcova a lot, but also there's other reservoirs where all these rules are the same. This isn't something that is specific for one body of water. Like, every body of water needs to be treated the same.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're on Alcova or Pathfinder, Glendale, wherever. The rules are the same. The regulations are the same. And, you know, the buoy markers are the same, so you just got to be paying attention. And kind of going along those lines, too, you know, boats are inherently more dangerous than vehicles. There's no seat belts, you know, safety items like that. So that's another reason that we go around and check for life jackets and check for throwable flotation devices and fire extinguishers, because those things are easily removed from boats. And we just want to make sure that everyone's in compliance with safety rules and regulations to keep them safe.
Let's throw another, you know, issue into the mix here. And if you're boating while drinking, you could then even cause more of an issue. But it's not the same as if you're in a car. If you're in a car and your passenger is drinking a beer, that's not right. But in a boat, you can't be drinking, but your passengers all can be. And that could really cause issues.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, you know, this weekend coming into the 4th of July, if you're operating a boat, you know, out with your family or your friends or whoever you're with, just make sure that you have a sober driver on that boat. You know, boating accidents are almost always caused by alcohol. Not always, but almost always. Alcohol is a huge contributor to those boating accidents. So just make sure that you have a sober driver. Everyone else can be, you know, drink and have a good time. But we really want to make sure that driver's sober. Because not only could that, you know, wreak havoc on your weekend, but, you know, if you're caught boating under the influence of alcohol, then, you know, we will take enforcement action for that. So we don't want to ruin anybody's weekend by having to do that. So just make sure you're sober on the boat.
Very good. Well, of course, you can go to wgfd.wio.gov if you would like to find out more information on boat safety. You can even find out about boater safety courses if you're new to the boating world and you want to learn how to do it correctly. You can do it all right there at the Game and Fish website. Ty, Janet, thank you guys.
Thank you. Stay safe out there.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Hey, it's Drew along with Brian Woodward at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, boy, Brian, last week we were here, the draw was announced, the rodeo was in town, and the store, you couldn't get into the parking lot because of so many people here, and it's good to see that.
You know, we saw lots of smiles and a lot of tears after that draw came out.
Yeah. Boy, we sure did. And I saw more people that were like, man, I can't wait for the secondary draw. Maybe I'll get something out of that.
Yeah, it was all over the board. You know, I mean, I talked to some people that had, you know, every person in their family drew tags. And then I talked to other people that have been putting in for 17 years for a tag and still haven't drawn. So it's interesting to see, you know, what gets drawn and how things get drawn. I mean, I talked to another guy that's drawn a real exclusive bowl tag in the area 9 years straight.
You know?
So you listen to those stories, and then you talk to the same guy that's been in for 17 years and hasn't drawn. And it's like, I don't know. There seems like maybe there's a little bit of a problem with how that's all working out. But hey, if you're the guy that drew it 9 years in a row,
yeah, you don't want to change.
There's not a problem.
Yeah. Our buddy Noah got a bull tag.
Noah finally drew a bull tag this year, and I don't think his sister did. So Noah's going to spend some time in the field. And, you know, I've talked to a handful of guys this last week, even, and it's like, you know, they've got kids in junior high and high school that are eligible to hunt, and their kids didn't draw again. You know, there's just that big push. It's like, well, how am I going to keep my kid interested in hunting and fishing if they don't have the access? And I, you know, a lot of cases you can go get a general deer or general elk tag, but there's no general antelope tag, you know, and you live in the state of Wyoming, you'd like your kids to have that opportunity to shoot one of these antelopes. It's one of the only places in the country they can do that.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the answer is, but there's definitely some frustration. And I mean, I went through that with my son. We only drew one tag in 4 years, and you know, it didn't mean we couldn't go hunt general, but it did kind of limit what our expectations and hopes of being able to do that season.
And I know that a lot of people like to draw Casper or Area 7 or somewhere close to home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, sometimes if you're really interested in getting, you may have to go out of your comfort zone, I guess, a little bit and try a different area. That may be the only way you get in on some of
you
that.
You know, and that's great. But, you know, I think a lot of the people that are, especially Casper or Douglas residents, you know, they're putting in for those areas because they are convenient. And when you have a kid in junior high and high school and they're playing three sports a year, or maybe they've got a job, or maybe they've, you know, split between families or whatever the case is, I mean, there's sometimes just limited time that you're going to have the ability to actually get your kid out into the field. And when you have to plan a trip that's 5 hours away and into a general area and not, you know, 45 minutes away, it makes a big difference.
And you have to pack in on a horse and carry a wall tent and all that craziness.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, our kids' time is limited. And, you know, if we don't get the kids in the field when they're in that junior high and high school range, when, you know, it's hard to have them gain that interest later in life.
They get attached to the phones now so early. It's like, how do you get them off of that? And so taking them outdoors is one of those ways.
Well, it's the fumes, the car fumes and the perfumes.
Yeah. It gets them every time.
It gets
right?
them every time.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about it being so packed in here last week because guys were already out. You know, we were talking about this last week. You know, don't wait until, you know, 2 weeks before your season starts to order those new strings or get your bow sighted in.
Yeah, we've had, you know, a lot of guys excited. You know, they've, you know, got their tags and decided, hey, I'm going to buy a new bow this year. I'm going to commit that time. Yeah, we've seen some great bows going in and out of the store. Evan's got them all set up. You know, guys are playing around with the different arrow weights and spines and just getting those bows tuned in. Of course, we got the 20-yard range here, but, you know, this time of year, you know, Castor Mountain's got a nice archery range. There's an archery range down at Glendo. There's one in Douglas. There's a lot of opportunities for guys to get out and outside and enjoy this nice weather and get those bows tuned in.
You know, one of the false sense of accomplishment is going out and shooting a bow in June. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to about November or, you know, late September and everything starts changing, mm-hmm. and then you go out and try to shoot that. How do you adjust for some of those situations?
You know, I think the guys that are consistent with the practice, I mean, they don't have a problem year round, yeah. You know, I mean, with rifles and stuff, elevation, temperatures, and all that kind of stuff, you know, affects, you know, how the bullet drops and at distances and whatnot. But the diehard archery guys, they generally got it dialed in. Now, you and me that, you know, shoot once a year, twice a year. I mean, I know you and I have lost a few arrows up on Casper Mountain.
Yeah, we did. Oh, gosh. I need to restock, too, by the way. And luckily, I can do that here.
Right.
Yeah, another thing we were talking about, crossbows. You know, now's a good time to get that, and that's a whole nother, you know, thing you have to get used to on that.
Yeah, I talked to a guy just the other day that, you know, has been a bow hunter all of his life and had soldier surgery and, you know, has been having a real difficult time pulling back his bow at the poundage that he needs to be required to shoot elk. And so he came in looking at crossbows, and there's a little sticker shock to them. You know, I mean, a crossbow is like buying a high-end rifle anymore. I mean, we tend to try to carry what I feel is the best on the market right now, and I think that's the Ravens. I mean, there's a lot of different variations and models of Ravens going anywhere from $1,300, $1,400 all the way up to $3,000. Anymore, these bows are all traveling at such a fast speed, over 400 feet per second. The higher-end bows might have a different scope or maybe a few different bells and whistles in terms of options, different stock options. But when you got a bow traveling that fast, I mean, the accuracy part of it is good. So, you know, get out there and practice behind it. Again, we got the 20-yard range here, so a lot of times we can get you set up at that 20, and then you guys have to go home and kind of expand the distance and just see how it shoots at those longer ranges. But they're really pretty reliable. They shoot well. I mean, most of those guys are shooting those bows, you know, up to 90, even up to 100 yards. But we've got them now, and now's a good time to get them in so you can get out and practice with them.
What about replacement parts? A guy comes in one year and buys one. I mean, they're pretty solid for a couple, 3 years before you have to change things out, right?
Absolutely. There's not a whole lot, I mean, of problems. I mean, there is some operator error just like there is with anything, right. You know. I mean, a guy falls in on a rifle and breaks a scope. I mean, things like that happen even in the archery world. There's right. A scope on them. They do recommend some maintenance, so on those crossbows, changing out the strings on those and the cables about every 200 shots, which is a lot of shots.
Yeah, right.
But changing those out every other year or 200 shots. And then, of course, if you do damage a scope or something like that, we've got replacements, and we've got a lot of different options in terms of Burris makes an Oracle X, which is a digital scope that has a built-in rangefinder that, you know, I mean, kind of takes the guesswork out of all of it.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about phones and video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really a lot of outdoor life now is surrounded by the same things.
Yeah, you know, it's technology has helped us in a lot of ways. It's also kind of gotten in the way in a lot of ways, especially, you know, probably with our kids. You know, I mean, it's easier to, you know, they're throwing a fit just to give them a phone, and as opposed to back in the day when mom said, "Go, why don't you go play with your Lincoln Logs or, yeah. or your Legos or whatever,
count mufflers, you know, yeah. anything like that,
right? Go chase parked cars."
You know, and technology has changed things when you get into the camping world too, because mm-hmm. now you can get the portable little generators or even a solar panel to take out.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the Goal Zeros that, you know, will charge iPads and iPhones and recharge your batteries on your flashlights. I mean, I've got guys that have even bought bigger units that they take into the backfield so that they can recharge their e-bikes, you know. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of cool things out there. A lot of the lanterns and stuff anymore are rechargeable. With LED lights, they tend to last a long time, yeah. You know, so you really don't probably have to. But, you know, if a guy wanted to just kind of give himself that extra sense of security and have themselves a panel where they could, you know, they're up on top of a mountain peak watching elk, and they want to be able to, you know, recharge a phone. So maybe they're using Onyxes and the Onyx is kind of dragging down their phone battery. They can throw that on there. There's a lot of great ideas for all that stuff. And then, of course, there's just some of the, maybe not even technology based, but just, you know, some of the niceties, like in terms of like the jet boils and, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of gearing up on all that camping stuff, maybe get a few camping trips under your belt during the summer months so that when you do get out in the field in September, you know, sometimes it's snowing for September 1st, you know, usually is when I want to go dove hunting.
Right.
so, you know, kind of get out in the field and kind of work on packing your packs and, you know, what's the minimal amount of stuff I could need out there. But then, you know, if I do get into some colder weather, what additional things am I going to need to add to my arsenal?
So come on in and check it out here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, because I guarantee you that, you know, if you want to take the kids out and get them acclimated to outdoors, you can get a family tent. You can get all the stuff you need right here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Come on in.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian back, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Brian, fishing. We didn't really talk much about fishing, but fishing has been hot recently, and we were just talking to Jay Fountain a little while ago, and he's been hitting really hard at Alcova and then Pathfinder too.
Yeah, they're Wednesday night league nights. You know, I think they're getting some pretty good participation, but the fishing's been great for those guys. I mean, they're both Alcova and Pathfinder. Sounds like almost everybody's catching some fish. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, I think Alcova's got a little bit better quality fish coming out, like a lot of 18 to 22 inch fish. And at Pathfinder, a lot of guys are getting into those 16 to 19 inch fish, which, I mean, I think everybody's pretty excited about.
Yeah. You know, I can remember a couple of years ago, people talking about Alcova and just not talking highly about Alcova when it comes to, you know, fishing for walleye there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now it's fun to see that you got many options to go fishing. If one of the reservoirs is really full, lots of boats out there, you can head down the road to the next one.
Yeah, you know, and the fishing down at Glendale has been a little bit tough, you know, and it's just fishing differently. I mean, there's still good quality fish in there. I had a really good week this last week. I caught a 28 and a half incher, so, I mean, that was my best fish this year, and, I mean, it was pretty fun to catch and pretty exciting. It went right back in the water. But because that's been tough, I think some of the Casper residents are really focusing more on the Alcova and Pathfinder thing, which I think is great.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot closer to home anyway,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
One of the things that we were also talking about is water situations where, you know, some boats are getting some damage because they're hitting things that are just under the water enough where they can't really see it and, you know, haven't been there before. And
yeah, well, you know, they had kind of plugged the hole at Glendale here for the last two or three weeks, and water levels are up into the, you know, 90% of conservation pool. But that's starting to change as of this last week. They're already starting to pull down Glendale. They're pulling down Pathfinder. Pathfinder is already probably as low as most people have seen it. So, you know, now's, you know, even though there are some obstructions, if you didn't know where Jaws was, now's a good time to get the boat on the water and wheel out to it because it's completely out of the water. You know, mark it on your graph to avoid this area. And at one point, you know, Jaws will be underwater somewhere down the road. And, you know, that's going to be an area that you're going to want to fish. So having it marked on your graph is a really good deal. But, yeah, we're going to start experiencing some pretty, I don't want to say extreme, but the water levels are going to be lower than we've seen them in a long time, I think. And it's not probably going to affect the fishing very much, but you're going to have to be cautious and careful because there's, you know, rock structures out in the middle of these lakes and reservoirs that you never knew existed until the water gets low. When the water starts dropping, you know, in my experience, those fish tend to slide out to a little bit deeper water. They tend to get out of the bays, especially those shallower bays where, you know, I kind of think that they recognize the fluctuation, and as it starts dropping, they're like, I'm not going to get stuck in this shallow bay. It might be temperature related, you know, those shallow bays get a little bit warmer and maybe they're just not comfortable being in there. When the water starts dropping, I think that they like to be in an area that has better access to deeper water. So they'll come up in, you know, to feed, you know, chasing those minnows and those crawdads up on the shoreline, but they don't want to hang out there. You know, they don't like the sun. They don't want to be in the super hot water. So they'll drop back down into that deeper water where the thermocline is at a temperature that they want to be at. Again, it will change, but it changes every year, you know. I mean, and to be consistent and good at fishing. You just have to recognize what the water levels are doing and what the fish or how the fish are responding to those water levels.
So if the water levels are different and it's a whole new ball game, would you recommend or, you know, maybe taking this opportunity to look in your toolbox and maybe try something that you haven't tried before?
Well, I mean, if a fish likes a worm, he's still going to like a worm. It just might be in a different location of the lake, you know. And when the water's rising, you know, a lot of that debris and bugs and worms kind of wash off that shoreline, where now we're looking at a more sustainable, like, forage base. And, you know, in reservoirs like Alcova and Pathfinder, you know, the crawdads and the minnows are that's their forage base. Of course, they'll eat a trout here and there. But, you know, you just have to kind of keep on where those fish are moving towards. And, you know, a lot of those fish, if there was walleyes up in the river channel, you know, those are going to start pushing down more main lake. And so maybe I would focus on some of those main lake points that are, you know, being fed by the river and where there's more oxygenated water. You know, you just kind of have to move around and trust your electronics and, you know, put a rod in the water.
So we are wrapping up the Wyoming Walleye Stampede at Pathfinder this weekend. Today, next week, we'll recap everything and kind of give you a rundown. I'm really excited to see what the end results are just for what we've been talking about. It's a different ball game. And mm-hmm. for a lot of the guys that are coming to fish this, maybe they haven't been up to pre-fish anyway, so it's new to them anyway.
You know, a lot of guys that showed up on Wednesday, Thursday was quite a few guys. Most guys will put a couple days of pre-fishing in. You know, the local guys, you know, maybe they fished over the weekend and didn't feel like they need to put too much extra time in. But, you know, the reports I've had from guys that have been on the water, there's been some really fantastic fish being caught.
Yeah.
I know of two 32.5-inchers that got caught. I know of a 28-inch fish that got caught. And a lot of guys just really pretty happy that there's, you know, that good 16 to 19-inch quality of fish that are coming out of there are being caught anyways.
So I know that over the next couple of weeks, we're going to switch the game also. The championship for the Stampede will be at Boysen, where, mm-hmm. you know, that's a whole different kind of game over on that side. And I know that it's been fishing really good this year, too.
Yeah, the guys that I've talked to, of course, the conditions are different over there as well. They kind of had, like they normally do, a little bit later runoff than what we see. So the water was just pounded in there a couple weeks ago. It was like as high as like 4,000 or 5,000 cubic feet per second. It's kind of mellowed back out now. It's, you know, kind of controlled, you know, going in at 1,000, going out at 1,000. So that kind of helps stabilize those reservoir systems. You know, the natural lakes, you know, they're not pulling them out for irrigation and that kind of stuff. So, you know, those levels, you know, kind of all stay the same, and you can kind of pattern those fish probably a little bit easier than you can on a reservoir system. So, you know, most fishermen, if they're looking at weather conditions or looking at wind forecasts or looking at whether the water is being, you know, pulled out or whether it's, you know, rising, all those conditions and all those things kind of play a part in how we're going to go start looking for fish. You know, a lot of guys this last week were catching fish in 2, 3, 4 foot of water. My guess is with that water being pulled out of Pathfinder this week, starting to drop as fast as it is, that those fish are going to slide out a little bit deeper. So, again, be cautious up there. There's, you know, a lot of new obstructions that you haven't seen for a while. But it's also a great time to get the boat on the water and mark those hazards now while they are out of the water.
Well, whatever you do, get out, enjoy what Wyoming has, because we'll be complaining about snow before we know it.
It's around the corner.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back to the program. Of course, you can listen to all of our segments on demand inside the radio station's app. And today, I know that you've heard from Kamish before, but today, Kamish, we're talking a little something different, a new venture that you guys have taken on. I know you already have Cedar Ridge Outfitting and Hunting. You've been part of the First Hunt Club for a long time organization. And now you guys are doing these excursions, the Black Tooth Excursions. And this just seems like your dream.
Absolutely.
A little bit of your background and knowing how you love horses and get out and ride. And that's what you're kind of doing with these excursions.
Yep. Blacktooth Excursions is, I've been wanting to start something like this for a long time, and we have the opportunity presented to us. So we're going to move forward, and next year we'll completely take over Blacktooth Excursions, fishing trips, day rides, drop camps, just luxury, leisurey type enjoyment up in the mountains.
The fun part of this, and you had just mentioned some of the options that will be there, but if you're not someone who owns horses or who doesn't get out on trail rides or rides very often or have never, I mean, really, this is an opportunity that you have everything. You have the tack, you have the animals, and you have the guides that'll lead people to where they need to go.
Yep, absolutely. All of the animals are super safe. There's a lot of mules, which are, they've got very good footing. They're very safe. All of them are oriented to the trails. We've got great horses as well. The wranglers, everyone's super helpful, super kind, and everyone just wants everyone to come out and enjoy the great outdoors and just have a good time.
And living in Wyoming, I mean, we have these opportunities. And like I said, not everyone owns horses enough that you can take your family and friends out. But you guys could take parties up to, you know, multiple, like teens, right?
Yeah. Last weekend we had a wedding party of 15. So that was a really fun group. It was just basically a 2-hour day ride up through the Bighorns. Gorgeous, gorgeous green, lots of wildflowers. The scenery is just breathtaking, and it was just a wonderful weekend to get out and enjoy the outdoors.
It's kind of, and I mentioned that this is kind of right up your alley. You've been horse person and outdoor person your whole life, and you know, owning horses yourself. So this is really something that you've always wanted to give other people opportunities.
Absolutely. I love being able to share my love and passion for the outdoors with other people, even if it's just for a couple of hours. Most of the time, everyone's awe-inspired and they love it. They wouldn't change it for the world.
So if you've ever wanted to play the role of John Wayne or, you know, Annie Oakley or something like that, here's your opportunity.
Absolutely. Got to love all those classics.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about what they can expect when they're taking these rides. And I know that this is still new to you guys, but you're to the point where you've gone out and you're kind of setting up camps now and getting everything ready for the rest of the summer. So what can an experience for a multi-day trip entail?
On your day trips, they're mostly just kind of a leisurely scenic ride. You can go out and just enjoy the views, basically. I mean, your horseback, and you get to go places that a lot of people don't go back and see, and you just get to enjoy that.
What about the comfort level for experience-wise? Because I know like a guy like me that hasn't been on the back of a horse very often, when a family comes in, say they have a couple of kids and they all want to go out and they just take a day ride, what kind of experience do they have to have?
You literally don't have to have any experience. We tell you what to do, what to expect, and we have all different levels of riders that come, from no experience to people that run cross country and do mountain trails and stuff all the time. So we tell you, you know, how to work your animal. That way you feel more comfortable. We answer all your questions. We get you set up. There's helmets available. We just want everyone to be comfortable and be able to just go on a day ride and enjoy their time. So we just try to set everybody up appropriately, put them on a good animal that they're comfortable on, and off we go.
So it really is, anyone can do a trip like this. So I'd mentioned that there are multiple day trips too. So you could go out and take a fishing trip and be a 5-day trip. So you could be out living in the wilderness And, you know, what kind of an experience will this be for folks? What will they need to bring in that situation?
So basically you just bring yourself. We provide the lodging, the food, and then once you get up to whichever camp that you want to go to, one is more fishing. So there's 7 different species of fish up there that you can go fishing for and just fish around, enjoy that. I mean, basically we can do whatever kind of trip you want to do. The other camp that I want to do is more leisurely. So saddle up, paddleboard around once we get up on the lake because there's no fishing at that lake. So that would also include the yoga, breath work, all of the fun relaxation kind of stuff just to take in the nature and be in with the good, out with the bad.
So really, you just mentioned yoga. So there will be yoga groups that will go and spend days just relaxing.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's interesting. You know, it definitely is a different spin on things. You know, people like these getaways. You know, if you have an office with a few people, this would be a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, it's really just a fun way to get up into the mountains, get away from all of the everyday crazy routines, and just relax and have a nice reset.
How can people find out more information? Because I know that this is kind of a new venture for you guys, but there is a website and social media, right?
Yeah, so we'll officially take over in January. But right now, if anybody wants to check out the website and see the beauty of the landscape and check things out, it's under blacktoothexcursions.com. Otherwise, anyone can feel free to contact me personally. The best way to do that would be via my cell phone, so 307-921-2125, and we can get you set up for whatever kind of excursion that you'd like to go on.
So is it kind of like Christmas morning for you every time you go and get up on one of these horses and start riding off in the Bighorns?
Absolutely. My favorite place to be is on the back of a horse, and there's no other place that I'd rather be. There's no other way to explain like the freedom in that. You get to go and you can go and ride and just, like I keep saying, just enjoy the outdoors. But you just really get to connect with nature and relax. And that's the best part about it, is just being able to take a big deep breath and sit back for a few days and reset.
If you go to one of the dude ranches or things like that, it's kind of everything is right there. You stay near the stables, you stay near the corrals, and you may go out and ride this little trail out and around and back. But this is really an opportunity for folks to really get that experience of deep in the wilderness, deep in the mountains. And you mentioned this earlier, there are places where you can't take a side-by-side to, you can't take a car to. Like, the only way you're really getting in there is on the back of a beast.
Yep, absolutely. Just either you are on foot or on the back of an animal. So it just depends on, you know, what kind of effort you want to put into it. Obviously, it's going to be faster horseback.
Yeah,
but people are welcome to hike in as well.
Crazies. Those are crazy people, I think.
But, I mean, that, there's nothing wrong with that. It's also, you know, good exercise and all of that kind of fun stuff.
So again, that's blacktoothexcursions.com is where you can go and find out more on that. And then, you know, cedarridgehunting.com is where you can go. I know you guys are booking up already for the fall and hunts, elk and deer and all kinds of stuff still.
Yeah, I think we are kind of at the end of closing up all of our slots that we had opened, just because all of the tags are out, second draw is out, so we really don't have much space, if any, left. So we've been super blessed to be keeping busy with all of that. So lots of hunters for sure.
that's going to be the fun part for you guys. And, you know, you and Tony have putting this together to where, you know, like June, July, August, you'll be on the horseback in the mountains. And then September through December, you'll be guiding hunters.
Yep, which also we can do horseback hunts as well with that. We don't have a lot. There is a couple, but the availability of being able to hunt via truck is super handy too. So we get a lot of older guys that's easier on for them than trying to mount up and ride out and do all of the packing. It's a lot of hard work that's really involved because, yeah, it just sounds like, oh, it's a day ride. But really when we're going in for a week, you're packing all of these meals up, going in, cooking, cleaning, all of, you know, it's like camping, just like, yeah. But way back up in the hills. So, I mean, it's a lot more work going back in over a half day's ride to get in, and you're tired. And I mean, it's exhilarating, but it's also just an amazing feeling.
So your summer and fall and part of your winter will be taken up, taking other people in, and then you'll take January, February, and March and just crash out, right?
Well, then I wish that was the way it was, but you're always just running, because once hunting season is over, then you have all of your hunting shows. We're already booked for fishing shows, so we're trying to get out there and advertise a little bit more and build up some more clientele.
Yeah, so it's just ongoing for all the time then, isn't it?
Yeah, it never stops.
Blacktoothexcursions.com, CedarRidgeHunting.com, both places you can go and find out about both of those ventures. And looking forward to, I've seen some pictures from the trips you guys have already taken, and it is just breathtaking.
It's gorgeous. You got to get out there and see all the scenery.
You just need to leave Tony out of the pictures from now on. make sure you go check it out. And next year is going to be a busy, busy year for you guys. And it's exciting for you.
It's very exciting. And I feel super blessed because, like you said, this has been my dream for a few years now. So
now you get to do it.
Yep.
That's cool. Yep. That is cool. So make sure to, you know, you can go over and check out the website and kind of get an idea of what's offered, and I assume they can start booking here very soon.
Absolutely.
So get over there and check it out.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.